Amen. If you could kneel, let's start with prayer for those that are just joining us online here. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us eyes that see so that we could really be on the true Sabbath, the one that's the exact same Sabbath that you're holding up in heaven. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us with that understanding. Please forgive us and cleanse us so that when the latter rain falls, we are worthy to go forth and glorify you and help bring even more people into the truth. And thank you for blessing everyone in attendance here online and all those on our prayer list with answered prayers. And thank you, Father, for all these blessings and for being our Father and literally being here when we gather, because your Son said whenever two or more are present that you're right there in the midst of us. And so thank you for being here. And we offer this prayer and praise unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I want to put out another little bit of a note here for those of you that are joining us on the stream. And for those of you listening on WTPR, if you wanted to get the address to the new, because I can't do a custom URL on YouTube until I have the new account that I have. It has to last 30 days. I've already gone over 100 subscribers. You got to have at least 100 subscribers and, 30 days under your belt before they'll allow you to like make a YouTube URL like with it, where it says user/NicholasPOGM2, because the one is I have now is just NicholasPOGM. Because we got, 30,000 subscribers. But pray that they don't yank us, because that's an awful lot of people that we can share the truth with. But if we have to, let me put the link in there. If all of a sudden the stream is missing again next week, like you try to join us and you can't find us, let me put it in the room here. And again, this is a generic link. I mean, it's still going to work, but it will be changed eventually after 30 days to where I can make my own custom URL. So there it is in the stream. Please subscribe to that so that you'll get alerts. Because if they ban me, I can't send out community alerts. I can't let anybody know what's going on. They just wonder, where are you? How come you haven't been preaching for the last 2 weeks? And then it happened a couple of months ago, too, where we couldn't do it for a week. And so please keep it in your prayers. And thank you for joining us. And as you know, this is Q&A Sabbath. And I originally only had one question, but I might go with two questions, because the second question was kind of quick, and I figured I'd just throw it in there. But this one I got the other day, and I don't usually do this. I usually, with the Q&As, I usually go with the questions that are, a year or two old, or a month or two old, whatever, hits me when I'm doing it, because I've got, out of curiosity, let me see how many Q&As I've never shared here yet in the chat room or in the church services on our Q&A Sabbath. Let me just see how many are actually in there, just to give you an idea. Oh, it's only 296 now, so yeah, it's gone down. So, but still, there's no way I can do all 300 of them in a conference or like a church service. So anyway, but this is question number 414, and it was literally. Yeah, this was actually emailed to me. It didn't go through the YouTube channels because it, I could still do comments on YouTube during the ban, but I couldn't upload videos. I couldn't do streams and stuff like that. So they opted to just go to my website and, use my my email server. So this is the question or the statement. You are wrong about the one world government. That's what they said. And this is what this young lady, it was a woman, emailed me. She said, now this is her email, this is how, I don't change these things, and I might fix grammar and misspelled words and stuff like that, because it kind of like, messes with me if I try to upload it with the boo-boos in it. Anyway, she says, I'm glad you're calling attention to the Antichrist-like actions of the Pope, but I hope you realize that he can't be the Antichrist that places the abomination of desolation. Now, right off the bat, she's in a 501c3 church, and it's a Sunday-keeping church, right? Just from that statement she made alone. Okay, I'll get back to that in a minute. And then she says, here's why. The world order, ruled by 10 kings, has to come first. They rule, now listen to this, this is an actual Jesuit prophecy that she's about to declare. She says, they rule for 3.5 years before handing everything over to Antichrist, who will rule for another 3.5 years. In other words, that's that 7-year, you know, the secret rapture thing and the 7-year tribe and all that stuff. And then she says, the Pope is already old and isn't likely to be leading any small army to attack fortresses. This doesn't mean that the Pope isn't evil and that his goals have any good in them, because he is doing his best to bring about the world religion, aka the Whore of Babylon and the world order, which will persecute Christians during its entire reign. Now, and I'm going to try to, you know, share what I shared with her, if you know, in but I'm not, I'm probably going to go a lot further into it, because I, that just happens. Yes, thoughts come to mind. But I more or less told her, please, I implore you to get out of the 501c3 government-approved church that you're in before they completely confuse the truth that the Lord Jesus is trying to share with you in his word and in the current events, proving his prophetic word is 100% accurate. I mean, there's a reason all this stuff is going on. It's not only scare tactics, you know, because fear moves the masses. As a matter of fact, there's 2 or 3 politicians that said that on camera. Why are you doing this? Or why do you think they're doing this? They said, well, fear moves. It's easier to control people if you use fear. That's just the way it is. But anyway, the strange prophecies that you just shared are not found anywhere in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Nowhere. It's not in there. There is no 7-year or 3.5-year tribulation period anywhere in Scripture. It's all a fabrication of the Jesuits of Rome, who in the early 1900s concocted all that your pastor is teaching so as to pull the onus off of the popes being, and all the popes being Antichrist, because they knew they had to change the minds of the political leaders of the world before they could even hope to see their mortal wound begin to heal, as prophecy confirmed, did in fact begin to heal in 1929 when Mussolini and Cardinal Gasparri signed the Roman Pact in the Lateran Palace, allowing the Vatican to regain its church and state power in that Lateran Treaty. That was prophesied. That's the beast that was, the beast that is not, the beast that yet is. The yet is 1929 forward. The beast that was 538 to 1798, and the beast that is not, well, it was from 1798 until 1929. Because Napoleon knocked him out of business in 1798. It all happened exactly as the Bible said. And yes, I said popes when referring to Antichrist, not just one pope. Prophecy does not call a single pope as Antichrist. It clearly states all of them are Antichrist, and all of them are prophesied to be the men or man of sin. Nowhere on my website do I declare that Jesuit Pope Francis or any other pope to be the Antichrist. The Bible clearly says all of them are Antichrist. Every single one of the popes are Antichrist. And if you want verification of that prophetic fact matched to historic records, say, I don't write history books either, I posted 26 out of literally hundreds of prophecies confirming that all the popes through history did everything the Bible said the Antichrist is going to do. And then I gave her a link to my Characteristics of Antichrist page that literally became a bunch of videos, as well as, and when I updated it last year, it's every section has an audio section, because I just turned them into sermons, because I wanted to update the page like that with sermons. So, as for why so many false prophets claiming to be pastors and preachers have chosen to echo the lies of the popes and the Jesuits about a 7-year or 3.5-year tribulation, as well as many other false prophecies, this too was prophesied regarding how bad the churches were going to be in the very last days. Okay, it wasn't really this bad when I was a kid, but it was already there. It was, you know, they already had the confusion. I mean, they were all keeping Sunday even then. And so, if you want the biblical and historic facts on this, I share on another page what the Bible really says happened thousands of years ago, what students of prophecy call the week of Daniel, that, as expected, the Jesuits took out a chronological order and documented historic records as well, so as to from the past, so as to place them at the end of the world. so as to protect the popes who had been doing these evil acts all along. And I got that on my 7-year trib Factor Fiction page on the website, and I gave it a link. And it's just more or less, shows her that the week of Daniel, as we students of prophecy call it, is the week starts when Jesus Christ is baptized by John the Baptist. And then the week ends when Stephen is stoned. Because the Lord said, you're only going to, when he was getting ready to ascend, he had them only preaching to the Jews for the next 3.5 years. You know that prophecy about digging around the fig tree and fertilizing it? The fig tree is Israel in prophecy. And so that's what he said. And what he literally openly said, just preach to the Jews. And then after that, he'll have them go to other areas. And that's where Paul comes into play. Because Paul was there when Stephen got stoned. Later, Paul sees Jesus on the road to Damascus. And then he goes forth and declares the truth unto the Gentiles. But what happens, because Daniel even says, in the middle of the week, he calls it the midst of the week, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for sins of his own. And what happened in the middle of the week? Well, exactly 3.5 years after Jesus Christ started preaching and teaching, they crucified him. But not for anything he did wrong. He did it. They crucified him for our sins. But they didn't know that. That's just how the prophecy was set to... This is, in other words, that's the reason for the sanctuary that we've been studying for the last 2 years and a month or so. It all points to what Jesus was supposed to do on Calvary so that people would be ready for what he does 2,000 years later when he comes back in our generation. And so that's what's been going on, and this is what they're trying to hide, because the whole time, the last 2,000 years, it was also prophesied that an Antichrist would step up and try to mix things up and destroy, theology and scriptures. I mean, they were rewriting Bibles left and right. And so, but as for the one world government and the Roman International Criminal Court System, it was all prophesied to be invented and ruled by the popes of Rome. See some of my old newsletters on this when you get time, and I put up the newsletter of the One World Court System. As a matter of fact, I can actually put... we're Q&A this week, and so if I can actually... After church, if you want, I could put these pages in the room, but let me just see if I can do it real quick here. No, I can't, because that's right, it'll cover up my notes. And so let me just go back to this here and leave it on Q&A. But I don't have enough monitors to go that far to be able to put stuff in the room at the same time with my notes. Off the cuff, yeah, not a problem. We'll do this after church, in other words. So, but anyway, I give her a link to the One World Court System. It was 1999 that I did that newsletter in April of 1999. And then July of 2000, the One World Church started officially, but unofficially, if you will, too, at the same time, because the Pope was elected the unofficial leader of it in 1999. And this is why even the Seventh-day Adventist people, without even realizing that their leaders are doing this, they send tithe money to the Pope, because they're part of the One World Church now. And then, of course, in September of 2000, I've got that newsletter about the One World Government that became an actual page on the website because of all the things that we kind of figured they were going to do from that day forward. So I turned it into a page as well, and I update it on a regular basis. But one last thing. Notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Like in today's language, you can't tell me what your opinion is on a prophetic symbol, is more or less what Peter's saying right there. Verse 21, he says, and then he gives the reason why. He says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the inspiration back then, and this is how the Bible went from 5 books all the way up to 66 books, that's how the Bible grew. And that's why you see the candlestick. Even though the Bible was only 5 books in size, when Moses was given the pattern for the sanctuary and that candlestick, that candlestick had 66 items on it. And so that candlestick itself is a prophecy. And so that shows us how the Bible was inspired by the Holy Ghost, and it is 66 books today, to this day. And so they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But today we have a little bit better option to be able to find these things out. We can use the Bible to define the prophetic symbols. And that's what I did. I got a page on the website all about every single solitary symbol in Revelation is defined using Scripture. That's how you can tell the false prophets out there. If they say something means something in the Bible, and you go and you look in your Bible, and you find out that they're a false prophet. And they can't understand prophecy anyway if they're disobedient. So the Jesuits, they were prophesied to place their own spin on the prophecies so as to make the real prophecies that were given to the men of God via the Holy Ghost to appear faulty or unbelievable. Oh, that just can't happen. That's crazy kind of thing, right? It's just like for so many years, people never thought that there would be, you know, martial law and lockdowns and stuff that we're seeing now in America. And it also vindicates us, too. I'll be sharing this after church as well in regards to what they're now doing with climate change. There's an article out there, there's a few of them, and then that artist made that picture about this, but they're pushing 400 different news sources to push climate change now so as they can go global. And what have we been saying for decades? I mean, I even have a page on the website called Climate Change Will Lead to the Mark of the Beast. But they can't test it as climate change because then it kind of looks a little bit odd that they're doing it again. You only can have one climate change event, you know. But you can have another one, but you're going to have to wait 100 years, right? So they come up with a fake virus. I mean, it's a real virus. People die from this thing, but it's nothing. It's like the regular flu. It's nowhere near the regular flu, actually. The regular flu killed 82,000 people alone in the USA in 2018. And even the fabricated, the blown-up numbers of the CV flu... or the Chinese thing, I think in the 40s, but we know they've been adding to those numbers. They even admitted on camera that they assume certain people die because they just can't keep track, you know, with all these dead bodies, they're saying. So again, they were prophesied to do this, and this is also why the Schofield reference, you know, the 1910 Schofield reference Bible, they started using what's called helps to keep the people who were only surface reading their Bibles in the pews. I mean, think about that. I mean, Satan knew all about the awakening that was also prophesied to happen at the end of the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel 8:14. And he also needed to confuse the masses by placing wolves on pulpits and laziness in the hearts of God's people when it came to studying the Word. They all feel, for whatever reason, that the preachers, they believe whatever he says on the pulpit is can be trusted. They assume because he went to school for it, right? They didn't even know they were living in the time of the end when most of the pastors were prophesied to be grievous wolves. They don't even know that. And so their opinions of prophetic symbols can make it seem like it's all true to them, because they're not double-checking like Bereans would have 2,000 years ago. The Bereans, they would double-check this, hear what the preachers were saying, because, you know, I mean, you went from a synagogue into a Christian house, like someone's home church, and they had to double-check because, you know, Christianity was all new to them. So they went into their Bibles because they had, you know, they didn't have all the epistles of Paul, obviously, nor did they have Revelation yet, but they still had the Old Testament. And, you know, so when Schofield put out his Bible with those Vatican scripted lies on the prophetic and doctrinal books, it shored up the lying pastors as if they were speaking truth. And so it made it easy for this to spread so quickly. In other words, before investigating the prophetic symbols that describe the characteristics of Antichrist, we need to understand that the Word of God tells us how to define the symbols in prophecy perfectly. We don't need help from men, and especially men that won't give Bible verses to back up their definitions. As you just saw, 2 Peter 1:20 says, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. That simply means Christians are told not to give our own opinion of what we think a symbol means. And, I mean, we didn't write the Bible. God did. And so he's going to put the definitions in there. He's the one that should be trusted to define each and every symbol for us, because he certainly would never write a book his own children couldn't understand. I mean, come on, he creates the most amazing things, but all of a sudden he can't write a book? I mean, that's why he had Peter pen those words of warning about opinions. Our God knows the end from the beginning, and so it was known by our Father in heaven that the man of sin and his cohorts would do exactly as they did. That's why you see the word remember in commandment number 4 because he knew everybody would be taught to forget it because it has to do with the mark of the beast. And you also see 66 items in a candlestick when the Bible at that time only had 5 books. We must always allow the Word of God to define its own symbols because our private interpretations are useless. For example, the term many waters in prophecy doesn't only mean a large lake or an ocean any more than the word woman means an actual woman. When used in the prophetic sense, these words are symbolic images hidden in plain sight so as to prevent the wicked from knowing the truth about the times we live in. For if they knew, without receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, they would be that much more effective in their attack against God's obedient people, as well as more able to twist God's word. Yes, they know a lot of information now, but that's only because the obedient remnant people put it out there. I mean, still, they don't know it all because our God protects it in ways they cannot even contemplate. For another example, notice my favorite verse in the Bible, which is, I actually made a website called John14:29.org. So John 14:29 says, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. And I got to tell you, I'm getting emails and phone calls like I never got before with all this stuff. Like when Twin Towers went down, oh, it's 10 times better now. Because people are starting to realize what we've been saying the last 20, 30 years now makes perfect sense. They now see the government is that evil to do these things. Everywhere from taking away their guns to putting guillotines in every city. Now, the guillotines are there, you just don't see them yet. But you got to know, if people say, oh, like they said about me saying whatever's happening today is crazy, they're probably going to say, oh, you're crazy about the guillotines. Well, give it a couple of years. You'll see them. So can you see the wisdom of this great God that split the Red Sea? Same great God that raised Lazarus from the dead and sent his only begotten son to die for us? Unless you're an avid student of Bible prophecy or in a church family that has been given understanding because of their obedience, unless you are in the Word, as you should be when a prophetic event occurs, you're not going to see any danger any more than the Christians who stopped reading their Bibles saw any danger in 538 AD when the Church of Rome was given church and state power. They didn't see any issue with that. No problem. The Bible already warned them about that, but they ignored it. Because by now they were already keeping Sunday holy, because what Constantine did on March 7, 321 AD when he started the first Sunday laws. But the Catholic Church keeps saying, no, we started keeping Sunday the minute Jesus Christ came out of the grave on Easter. And Easter's not even a Christian holiday. That's why the date changes every year. It has to do with the first full moon of spring. They keep saying that the Sunday was changed that Easter, on that Easter. But it didn't happen until three centuries later, 321 AD. But people like fake news. They believe whatever their leaders tell them if they don't study their Bibles. And so when they didn't see any issue with, you know, the Catholic priests getting civil and, you know, political and church power, well, it was their own fault that led to 500 million Christians dying for their faith, which was a good thing for the Christians. I mean, the martyrs, that's a blessing from on high. But they refused. The reason they were killed is because they refused to bow to the popes, because finally they started reading Bibles. They didn't want to deal with that. They didn't want to worship a Eucharist, because they knew. I mean, the Holy Spirit, even though they didn't have access to a lot of Bibles, and if you did, you'd get killed if you had one. But still, on the other hand, when you're obedient, you can read or watch the daily news today and see prophesied events happening daily all around you. That's what makes my job so easy. When it comes to the blogs, I just read the news reports and I'll throw up a blog entry and say, okay, this was prophesied. It's so easy now. You know, but my point is this: the obedient people of God will understand some prophetic events as fulfilled, but only directly after they come to fruition as well. It's like one of those need-to-know bases, and that protects us too. The Lord doesn't allow us to see certain things beforehand either, because he knows our desire to teach and preach it, right? And we want to go out and warn everybody. And he's going to move us to go forward proclaiming the truth far and wide. The three angels' message confirms that hands down, by the way. Only the people that studied the scriptures and kept his law were given the understanding of prophecy, because you can't understand prophecy unless you obey the God that wrote it, right? And so that's how the early Seventh-day Adventists, the Seventh-day Adventists today, no, prophecy confirms that they were supposed to join hands with Rome, and they have, and so now you got the remnant of her seed finishing the job, and that's us. But back when they were infants, they had the gift of, you know, of prophecy. They understood it. And so they went forth and proclaimed it. And so if we were to have every prophecy understood and, you know, and locked down today, as to the letter, and even to a given date before coming to fulfillment, you know, because you don't get the day or the hour after the end time started, which was at the end of that 2300 year prophecy in 1844. So we know what's going to happen next. We just can't tell you the date. If we were to go, like if we had the dates now and we went forth and proclaimed it, the Jesuits would no doubt pick up on that and have ample time to fabricate a false prophecy for the Pope by twisting Bible scripture in a very crafty manner, just as the prophet Daniel said they would do in Daniel 8:25. They'll use craft, and that also means witchcraft. Did you see the Wiccan stain that he was using the other day with the nail going through it? That's an exact copy of what a witch has with a screw going through it, and sometimes they put a lantern on there. It's disgusting. But if you've ever read the Jesuit oath that I have on the website, you would know for a fact that they have Satan in their camp, who is a super intelligent angel. A fallen angel, yes, but still an angel. And so you also have to know that even he cannot see in advance in some areas in prophecy when it comes to these events. And this keeps us all safe from the crafty lies of Rome being preached by all the government-approved pastors. And so the Lord protects us by not allowing certain prophecies to be seen too far in advance as to certain aspects of the prophecies, and that can be an issue for the many false prophets who prefer to be looked upon as all-knowing, and so to prevent them from being looked upon as unlearned, they make stuff up. And they come off as legit to their churchgoers because they're already not studying Bibles. I mean, the fact that they believe Sunday's the Sabbath proves that hands down. Because there's not a Bible verse to say that Sunday was ever the Sabbath. I mean, even the Vatican announced long ago that there isn't a single Bible verse, and they're the ones that changed it, you know, to change the Sabbath to Sunday. And so that in and of itself proves to them, and especially to Satan, you know, proves to their leaders and to the devil, that they are already okay with believing lies. He's past the toe hold, he's got the leg now. And they are not only absent in Scripture, you know, these verses and these lies are not there. There are hundreds and even thousands of verses that prove their pastors are in fact lying, but they don't open their books to find, you know, the Bibles to find that out. And knowing that, for Satan to know that, is makes it very easy to assume when the pastors make up a lie without any biblical proof behind it. They know their pews are going to remain pretty well packed, and their coffers are going to keep on bringing cash into their pockets. I mean, the truth about the method of by which prophecy is defined is simple. Were you aware that there are 404 verses in the book of Revelation? And out of that 404 verses, 278 of them carry the bulk of the prophetic message of that book. And did you know that all 278 of those verses can be found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible? The Lord actually makes it that easy. And there's verses in Revelation that explain symbols in Revelation. I mean, the angel even tells John what the spirit of prophecy means. It's what the woman means. I mean, it's just amazing how easy the Lord... It's like an open book test in high school, right? Open book test, piece of cake. So just as our Lord planned so as to prevent confusion later and definitely in the end days, when the Bible would become corrupted by thousands of verses missing, you know, not the King James, obviously, but, you know, the NIVs, the NASBs, and all that. Our God wrote this Bible in a way that the Bible defines itself perfectly. Each symbol in Daniel and Revelation, or any other prophetic book for that matter, all of them are defined in detail in His Word. So don't let anyone, be they a brother or a sister or even a pastor, give you their opinion or their interpretation when it comes to prophetic symbols or prophetic events as they are outlined in the Bible so perfectly that even a babe in Christ can expose them. If you have a Bible and you know where the verse is at and you know where the definition to that symbol is, see, even the cross-referencing, more than 50% of the time, if I recall, I couldn't find, if it wasn't for a computer, it would have taken me years. It took me 3 years to do that study to begin with for Revelation. It would have taken decades if it wasn't for a computer, because even the cross-referencing, the guys that put the cross-referencing in there, if they're disobedient, they're not going to know to cross-reference this statement that is made something like something about oil, to cross-reference it to another verse that says the oil is the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't know that. It's just not there for them. And praise God for that, too, because some of these guys, they put these helps in there, and it just, yeah. If you got a Bible with helps, it's you need to get rid of it. So anyway, or just ignore the helps if you got a King James Bible. But we must always let the Word of God define itself so as to prevent confusion. I mean, that's what the Bereans of old did, and this is what we must do. So in fact, that's an easy way to expose the many false teachers out there all over the world. Just hear what they have to say, then open a Bible and see if that what they say matches up with what the Lord already says regarding a certain symbol. And if it doesn't, don't sit in their church. You know, it's because it's plainly written in 2 Corinthians 6:14 that you must be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, yes, these wolves, as the Bible calls them, on the pulpits, will come off as wise, gentle, and even loving, as well as hardcore believers of the word. But if you have a thus saith the Lord, I mean, if you have the written verse in front of you, and they twist it to where it is, to mean something like it's their way or the highway, then you need to get as far away from that church as you can. If they declare a prophetic symbol to mean something that you know for a fact is not proven with Scripture, and you have Bible verses to prove it means something else, and you know, then they are openly declaring themselves to be unbelievers in the God of the Bible, because they're not giving you His definition of it as He wrote it. They're giving you their definition as they believe it. That's why the prophecy about the creeds came to fruition in our day as well. Most people believe their creed or their statement of faith. And this is why, like the people that say Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, they say, like 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, they say, delete that verse, it shouldn't be in the Bible. Well, no, it should be. And we've already proven that. As a matter of fact, we got a very old Bible that they said it wasn't in the old manuscript. Well, no, yeah, we got proof it was. But they say, they literally, instead of changing their creed to back the Scriptures, they, you know, they should have done like King Josiah did when he found the book of the law. But no, they didn't. So, in short, Peter stated, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that you cannot use private interpretation. All 66 books of the Bible share prophetic symbols, and these symbols are defined in the Word. And so one last thing, and I'm just going to give her a bunch of links here. See this compilation of videos I give her. It's an in-depth look at the last few decades of the movements of the popes that brought about the one world government, and I have that on a page on the website. It's remnantofgod.org/rev17.12htm, because Revelation 17:12, you know, so that's why I made the page about that. And just so you know, the one world government is already here. The fact nearly every nation on earth just did exactly as the Pope commanded them to do. And yes, it was the Pope, because I did videos years ago where the Pope had every politician meet with him, and they had that picture where every leader of every nation was in the Vatican, and they all took a picture together. There was no mistake. And the same thing with the CEOs, everybody from Microsoft to Ford Motor Company, all the CEOs of America and all the CEOs of these big multi-billion-dollar corporations around the world all stood for a photograph as well with the Pope. That's why I made those two videos. It's because the buy and sell, if you can't enforce the mark of the beast unless all these leaders in these companies and these nations are on the same page. And this, oh boy, spam. Oh, that's a telemarketer. So all these leaders are, I mean, take for example, like in America with all the news media, decades ago you had hundreds of different television news stations. Now, 5. It's easier to control it that way. And this is why all those bankers, a couple of years ago, I can't remember, the number was insane how many were doing this. They were all saying these bankers are committing suicide. Why? What is, so, you know, working with money all day long drives you nuts and you jump off buildings? No, it's the same thing with what went on in the 80s when the investigative journalists all started winding up committing suicide. No, the narrative has to stay out there. Shut up. Don't be making news reports about this corruption in the government. If you don't stop, we'll kill you. And so they didn't believe him. So they killed a bunch of journalists in the 80s. And then in the about 5-6 years ago, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years now, but all the bankers were jumping off buildings and committing suicide. Why? Well, because of the cashless society that's headed. Lock down the economy, force people to take you know the socialist agenda. They have to bring this in. You can't enforce the mark of beast without it. So, but as for the Whore of Babylon, when I did give her my link to that a blog entry that I put up on April 13th, it was about a week or so ago, where it's the title is the New World Order is here. It's already here. We already know now. And so as for the Whore of Babylon, 100% of every prophecy ever uttered regarding this harlot has been confirmed fulfilled using all the historic and dogmatic records as well as scripture to confirm it's the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, I even have a quote from every single solitary denomination out there that says the Pope is either the beast, Antichrist, or man of sin, or son of perdition. And it's on the website. You know, in other words, it's the page that's called Your Forefathers Have Called Him Antichrist, or something like that. Every denomination. But yet now they're all called, like the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I was actually, if anybody could do this for me, I'd really appreciate it, because I'm going to make a video about this. Ben Carson did it, and that big preacher did it on camera, called the Pope a holy leader. Seventh-day Adventist leaders calling the Pope a holy leader when not 150 years ago, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was the church that was exposing them as Antichrist and man of sin or son of perdition or whatever. And then finally, as for the 10 kings that she mentioned that have to be her first, they've been here since the 60s. Okay, I actually did a pile of newsletters on this. I have, like, if you go to my YouTube page and just put in 10 toes, I got a bunch of videos about that. As a matter of fact, I even have like Feinstein sitting down and somebody standing up behind her holding up this map of the world, which has been separated into the 10 kingdoms. And I have a quote from the Club of Rome where they actually call it 10 kingdoms, just like the prophet said. Daniel said that it was going to be 10 separate kingdoms. And so he said the 10 horns are 10 kingdoms. Both John and Daniel said this. So, but judging by this young lady's comments, I have no doubt that she was also taught about a secret rapture and a great tribulation that happens after the Christians leave. These two prophecies are found in the Word of God, but not in a secret way as they claim. Okay? And nor are they found in the timing they claim. And what I mean is, the Jesuits of Rome twisted certain real prophetic prophecies out of chronological order to hide the fact that, number one, the great tribulation that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, that already happened between the years 538 AD to 1798 AD, where 500 million Christians were killed. And if you think Jesus would have missed a prophecy like that, no. See, that's what Rome's also going for. Well, how come Jesus never mentioned this? He did, but it's in Matthew 24. But they make it act like he never did. And they say that happens at the end of the world. No, what happens at the end of the world is called the time of Jacob's trouble. And then even before that is the plagues. Okay, the seven last, because the time of Jacob's trouble comes at the end of the plagues. And so, and then in 538 AD, Emperor Justinian's decree brought the Bishop of Rome into a church and state power under the military protection of Belisarius. And I go into detail on that in the 7-year trip page. But as for the secret rapture that I've declared to be the last trick played on mankind via Satan and his man of sin in Rome, there is not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation to back that so-called prophecy up. It was purposely designed to make the claim that Antichrist was only to come in the last days, directly before Jesus returns. That way, all the stuff that happened during the Dark Ages, no, that wasn't Antichrist. That was just, you know, a bad pope, let's say. But they were all bad. And so, but the Antichrist does come in the last days. That's true. When it comes to Satan, though, acting like Jesus Christ in the very near future, that happens directly after we go forth in a loud cry and warn people about the Sunday laws. When we go forth with the loud cry upon us, when the latter rain falls, then Satan shows up and acts like he's Jesus Christ. That's the Antichrist. But what leads up to that? Even John, the apostle, in the book of 1 John says there were many Antichrists in his day. So the spirit of the Antichrist was there even then. It's just Satan working with Christians to manipulate everything. But the biblical fact is this. All the popes have been proven to be Antichrist since day one. And I told her that she's going to be shocked to see the Bible verses placed back in context regarding what happens at the second coming. And I have all the twisted Bible verses placed in context on that, my secret rapture page, as well as quite a few, I would think at least 100 Bible verses that these preachers never mention. Because if they mention these Bible verses, then the secret rapture goes right out the door, as does the 7-year trib and the 3.5-year trib and all that stuff. It's all gone. And I was thinking I was going to do another question, but I'm looking at the clock here. I went a little long because I have a tendency to ad-lib, and so we'll end it here. And but I'd still want to, you know, touch on something that happened in regards to climate change and what we have been expecting for, me personally, 25 years. I mean, I knew about the Mark of the Beast 36 years ago. I didn't know what it was until 26 years ago. And about 25 years ago, I found out how they're going to enforce it. And so that is something that's beginning now. It's they're not enforcing it yet, but boy, are the talking points out there, I got to tell you. And I'll be sharing some of that after church. So stick around. Hope and pray you were blessed.